So, lots going on, you guys. How many of you guys went to Blackberry Jam? Was it fun this year? Every year it kind of gets to a place where the community is coming together. There was actually more vendors this year than there was last year, but we had a blast. I mean, it's a lot of work, but it's worth it all. And then we did a service. We did service in the park, which is what we're trying to do every year. That kind of, we kind of take a hit for that, you know, in some ways at our church, because we don't take a tithe, we don't take offering during that time, and so some people don't give their tithe. And so the end of the month, we're going, you know, but we trust God. God is our provider, right? So we go do that. We don't ask for money to do that. So we do it and just faithful to God that we could give a message. And so if you guys forgot to give your tithe last week, we could sure use it this week. Trust me. But God does bless us. He takes care of us. And so we do that because they asked us to do it again. And so that is a blessing for us as a church to reach out to the community. And I shared a short message just about Jesus and he's the way, the truth, and the life. And there's one way to get to the Father, and that's through Jesus. And I know that's a tough message for some people in our day-to-day. In these days, they think there's many ways to get to heaven. Well, why would Jesus come to die on the cross if there was many ways? Why would he do that? Why would God send his only son to die on the cross for our sins if there's many ways to get there? He just wouldn't do it. Right? So he made it real clear that Jesus is the way. And we'll talk a little bit about that today. But the week before, we talked about walking in the light versus darkness, if you remember. And that was 1 John 1, the first chapter. And he talked about the truth, which is the light of the world. Jesus is the truth. He is the way. And so our truth comes through knowing Jesus and his mandate for us and who we're supposed to be. He said, die to yourselves and walk like him and do what he's called us to do, right? And so that dying to ourself process is a tough one, right? Because we realize we have our own pride, our own will. We have a choice. God gave us a choice. And so to walk in the light and to walk in truth, and if you guys remember, I challenged the looking at ourselves in a way that we would really be honest with ourselves to see if we are in the light, to see if we are speaking truth and walking in truth and not a lie. And so we talked about that, and then we talked about darkness, light versus darkness, truth versus lies. Right? And so Jesus came so that we could see truth. And the enemy, he's out to steal, kill, and destroy, and he will do anything he can to do that. And so we need to know that we have an adversary. So if you look at 1 John, you'll see that the word truth is used 26 times. 26 times in John, and he uses that word truth over and over and over again. So today we're going to talk about in the second chapter of the first letter of John, 1 John. And the second chapter, we're going to look at where do you stand? Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word that is alive and speaks to our hearts. And Lord, as we read it and we connect with you, and Lord, I know that we can look at this and find all kinds of things for somebody else to read or for somebody else to look at. But boy, if they only would look at this, their lives would change. But Lord, we want to look at it for ourselves. God, if we looked at it and we analyzed ourselves, boy, our life would change. And so I ask God for a spirit and a heart of analyzing ourselves today and looking at what your word is speaking to us individually. And then, Lord God, we would put some time and thought into it. We'd be intentional about it, and that we would put it into practice. And so, Lord, if you convict us with anything today, I pray, Lord God, that we would grab a hold of that and ponder that, think it through, pray it through, and then, Lord, get victory. And we thank you for that in advance, knowing, God, you are our God, and that we don't just come here every week just to listen to somebody talk or listen to some good worship. We come to listen to you. And so, Lord, let our hearts be open. And thank you for it in Jesus' name. Okay, let's kick it off in chapter 2, verse 1. He says, my little children. You know, this is cool when he writes to a congregation and he calls them little children because, you know what? I ain't grown up yet. How about you? I'm still a kid. I mean, at least I think of myself. I mean, I know I look old to you guys, but I still have a heart like a child. I still like to do things. And if my body would let me, I would still do lots of things. I seen a skateboard the other day, and I thought, oh, man, would I like to go ride that thing, right, if I could. And then I thought, no, if only I fell off of that thing, I'd be hurting for a week. How many of you guys ever feel like doing that? I mean, I was looking at a motorcycle the other day, and I was telling Joey, oh, man, wouldn't it be cool to get dirt? I used to race bikes. So my heart still after, man, race that thing, you know, like, Joey said, remember that dream you had? And I had a dream. And this dream was really vivid. And I broke my back in this dream. And I woke up on one of those things that tip over. It all straps you on there so you're real tight. And the dream was I was on that. And they flopped me over where I was looking on the floor. And I couldn't feel anything. And you know how you wake up and your arms are dead? You know, I'm like, oh, God! You know, it freaked me out. I mean, I was totally freaked out. And I sold my motorcycle. After that, because I was going, oh man, I don't want to do that. That was, and to me, sometimes God gives us insight. You know what I'm talking about? And He don't just do that for, you know, sometimes He wants us to hear it. Sometimes He gives it to us pretty loud and clear. And so to me, that was pretty loud and clear. So I was looking at that bike the other day, and Joey says, remember your dream? And I go, yeah, I remember. But still, we still feel youthful. And so He calls us little children. Now, He's not calling us little children physically. He's calling us little children in the spiritual senses that He wants us to learn, as kids do. As a child would come to his father and open his ears and his heart to hear the Father. And that's how He's speaking to us. So He says, I'm writing these things to you so that you may not sin. I mean, isn't that something a father would tell his son? You know, listen, so that you understand that. And here's the deal. It's not that shame on you, don't sin. It's like, listen, if you listen to this, that you have, you, if you understand these things, it'll save you a whole lot of heartache because of love, He's telling us. You guys, don't get caught up in sin because it won't just hang on to you for a little bit. It'll destroy your life. All right? So He says, don't get caught up in sin so that you may not sin. And then He says very simply, if you do, not when you do. No, that's not what He said. He said, if. And it's an interesting subject matter if you think about it. It's not, oh, well, everybody sins. Right? Don't they? Everybody sins. Yes, the Bible says it. Everybody does. But does that mean that gives you a right to? Okay, well, everybody does, so I'm going to do it. No, it's if you do, not when you do. If. Big difference. If you sin, then you have an advocate. And an advocate means someone who comes alongside. Someone who comes and helps you through this issue of sin. Whatever that may be in your life. And it says, and if anyone sins, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. And He Himself is propitiation for our sins. Now, I know that's a big word, right? And what that word propitiation means is it's satisfying the wrath of God. And so Jesus, by His atoning blood on the cross, that He died for our sins, He gave His life so that we could have life. So He satisfied the wrath of God for sin. Because remember when Adam and Eve in the very beginning in the garden and Eve was disobedient and then Adam was disobedient, He said, thou shalt surely die, right? That meant spiritually separated from the Father, right? He wasn't kidding. And those who keep on sinning and know the truth and continue to walk in that, the separation happens is that you can't hear the voice of the Lord anymore. It's like dull way out there. Right, so the reality of this is that He wants us to come close to Him, walk underneath His love and kindness for us, so that we can hear Him very clearly. And so, in Him, So he's the propitiation for our sin, and not for ours only, but also for those of the whole world. He did it for everybody who chooses to accept him. So now you've got a bunch of people that believe that there's many ways to heaven, right? And that Jesus' death on the cross didn't mean a thing. I mean, just ask a lot of people. We were at the Godmobile. It's not called that anymore. It's what's it? MGM, Mobile Gospel Ministry. We were there, and I got to talk to a lot of people, and I was a little more bold this year about people who was trying to slam Jesus down, and I was telling them, look, you know, it's not by chance that you're here asking this question, and you have a chance today. This is your divine appointment to say yes to Jesus, and you know what? You can throw that away. But if you do, right, God may not call back on you. You may not get this chance again. You could die when you leave here. Today is your day for salvation. Today, this moment, this second. If you haven't accepted Christ as your Savior, do not wait. Why would you want to? I mean, it's craziness not to. It's, you know, you want to come to that relationship with God, and that's your beginning. And you wouldn't want to stop that relationship by saying no to the Lord. By this we know that we have come to know him if we keep his commandments. So we all know what the commandments are, right? Everybody, can you like quote the Ten Commandments by heart? There's three of them that we should know really well. And we ask ourselves, well, do I lie? Have I lied? Remember? That was one of them. Don't be bearing false witness. Don't be telling stories that aren't true. Right? And so this thing about lying, he'll get into that in a minute. But the commandments, if we keep his commandments, it says, by this we know that we have come to know him if we keep his commandments. The one who says, I have come to know him, and does not keep his commandments, he's a liar. So you're not only lying to everybody else, but you're lying to yourself. And the truth is not in you. You're living a lie. But whoever keeps his word, in him the love of God has truly been perfected. By this we know that we are in him. So that's just one part. Verse 6, the one who says he abides in him ought himself to walk in the same manner as he walked. When he says who is he talking about? Jesus. So in the manner that Jesus walked, how did he walk? Right? He walked humbly before men. He didn't have an agenda. He wasn't fighting any big battles. He didn't even go take the synagogue back from the Jews. Right? He didn't do that. He did cleanse the temple because they were a brood of vipers that came in and was making money in the house, which irritated him a little. But then he went on about his business after he said what he had to say, and he didn't make a big deal out of anything, really. He just came and spoke truth. And we can accept that truth or not. But the one who says he abides in him ought himself to walk in the same manner as he walked. So basically, where we're at here is Joey and I's devotions are in the Old Testament. We're in 2 Chronicles chapter 25 and 26 when the kings were having issues. And in that, you'll see in the headings, it said, usually in the beginning, it'll say, and this king walked right before God. Or he did not walk before the Lord in a righteous manner. And so in 25, it talked about the king that did what was right in God's eyes and followed God until the last of his days. But it says right there, he said he did what was right, but he didn't follow him with his whole heart. I went, wow. That would just grab me. We know God, we know of him, and we follow some of the practices, but do we follow him with our whole heart? That's why this morning when I challenged us to worship God the way that God would have us, just block everything else out around us and go and worship the Father for who he is. Not because of what he can do to you or for you, but just because he is worthy to be praised and honored and glorified and worshiped. He's our king. We don't understand kingship as a country who has a democracy. We don't understand it. We think we have a voice in everything, that we can say what we want. Well, in God's world, it isn't like that. He's our king. And there's a big difference. And it's, we don't have, you know, it's not a democracy here. You don't get to go and tell God what you think. I mean, you can, but it ain't going to change nothing. Because he loves you enough to give you your own view, but yet he wants you to see his, so because he knows what's best for us. So, beloved, I am not writing a new commandment to you. What did Jesus leave us with? Huh? A new commandment. What did he say? What was that new commandment? Love one another. Do you think that's a new commandment? It's an old one. It's an old one that God said way back when, in the beginning. And love was the whole reason why he created mankind to start with, because he wanted fellowship with us. So he did it out of love, right? And so Jesus loved us so much that he gave his life so that we could have life. Otherwise, we'd all be toast. And so the love commandment, now I got to ask you guys, who are you mad at? Right? Who are you angry at? Who stepped on your toes? And how much grudge do you want to keep against that person? Now, I know you're human just like me. Right? We are humans. We have feelings. And sometimes our feelings get hurt and we get stepped on. Now, how many do you know? You guys know that Jesus' feelings got hurt too. And you know what? Guess who did it? We did. And we do it today. Why? Because we don't listen to what he has to say. We do our own thing and then we get in trouble for that down the road. But it's not that, because he'll never leave us or forsake us, and he won't hate us for anything. He loves us through our failures. And all he's asking us to do is do the same. Walk in the manner that he would walk. Right? And that is in forgiveness and love for one another. But we seem to hold grudges and we seem to hang on to those things and not let go of them and be mad at somebody for eternity until we see him in heaven one day, or if we see him in heaven, I don't know. God knows all that. But I know this, that if we're not willing just to say, okay, look, I love them anyway, even though they hurt me or wounded me or said things about me or bailed on me in the middle of a good hard pull, right? How many of you got brothers and sisters? You guys remember doing chores? I don't know about nowadays, but we had lots of them when I was a kid. And I remember my oldest brother not helping me finish the chores. And the reason why I did them was not because I wanted to, but because if I didn't get them done, I didn't get to go do what I wanted to do. Right? I didn't have freedom to go and do what I wanted to do till all that stuff was done. And so I not only pulled my weight, but I pulled his too. Anybody do that? And your reason why you did it, why? Was it selfish? Yeah, it wasn't my part. I was still angry about it. I'm working on it. No, I love my brother. I still have issues with him. I imagine he has some with me too. It's pretty easy to look at this side of the ship, you know. And that's the idea, you know. Jesus wants us to try to step out of our shoes and into someone else's. You know, you think about people who deal with abuse issues, you know, ones that abuse others. And usually the case, in fact, a huge percentage of that time is that that person was abused in their life. Right? And so those who are hurting usually have been hurt. And when you, in a counseling situation, when you find those things out, you kind of step out of that and you look back at the past and you start asking the questions. You ask the right questions and you get the answers usually that you'll find that somewhere along the line they were wounded, they were hurt, and they abused because they've been abused. Right? How about you? Sooner or later, we have to take responsibility for ourselves. It's not about what somebody else did. We have to take responsibility about what we do and step out of our shoes and have some compassion for those that we are really angry about or angry with. And that's what John's talking about. He's saying, look past yourselves. Because listen, in this world, there's going to be that. And there's nothing you're going to do to stop it. And people are going to hurt you. You're just going to have to get used to it. Is everybody used to it yet? Huh? If you're not used to it, eventually you're either going to cross this bridge or not. But if you go to the grave with it, you know who gets wounded over the whole deal? It's like drinking poison and expecting someone else to die. Right? It doesn't work. The only way the healing comes is if you would take responsibility for you and say, you know what, I'm just let it go. It isn't worth it. And go on, and then look outside yourself and show love and mercy to those who don't deserve it. Why? Because Jesus showed love and mercy to you when you didn't deserve it. So when you look at that passage of Scripture that says, walk in a manner that Jesus did, if one who says he abides in him ought himself to walk in the same manner as he walked. Now, I know this really might be difficult for us to grasp. I get it. I mean, I live here too. I'm in this world as you are. We're in the world, but we're not supposed to be of the world. I have a little bit of a insight on what God's trying to teach me and show me, and so I'm going to share it with you. You know what causes a man and woman to walk in the way that Jesus walked? The Holy Spirit. Last Wednesday, Gwen gave a message. Last Wednesday, it was very good. But the thing that she spoke that was really prevalent in this message was that we need the Holy Spirit. And if we don't have the Holy Spirit and we don't go to Him and say, because why? Jesus left us with the Helper. If we don't allow the Helper to help us, well, then it's not His fault, it's ours. And so we need more of the Holy Spirit in our life. And so why not ask? You know, Holy Spirit, come. We invite you to speak to us, to help us, give us understanding, because that's what He's here for. He didn't leave us without an advocate, without help. Right? So we have that. Beloved, I am not writing a new commandment to you, we'll get back to the new commandment, but an old commandment, which you have had from the beginning. The old commandment is the word which you have heard. And He doesn't come right out and say this, right? Because He knows that He's talking to believers here. Did you guys know that? He's not talking to non-believers. He's talking to believers as a congregation. He says, on the other hand, I am writing a new commandment to you, which is true, in Him and in you, because the darkness is passing away and the true light is already shining. You guys get it? Who is He talking about? He's talking about the Holy Spirit. He's talking about Jesus came and He left us the Holy Spirit. It's shining in us, right? Then one who says he is in the light and yet hates his brother is in darkness until now. The one who loves his brother abides in the light, and there is no cause for stumbling in him. Where do you stand? You know, that's a great question. I know some of you guys are going, I'm good. I'm good. Well, maybe you should go home, spend a little time with the Lord, and ask yourself that question again by the Holy Spirit. You know, get some alone time and ask that question again. Where do I stand here with this? So are you abiding in the light? Do you have forgiveness in your heart for those that have hurt you? But the one who hates his brother is in the darkness and walks in darkness. And I think deception is kind of a funny thing. We don't see it. It's like being duped. It's like the magician, you know, that tries to show. He gets you so busy over here, he's doing things behind the scenes over here, but he's got your attention out here. That's what the enemy does. If he can get your attention over here and you're okay, you're all good, then he's messing with things over here and you don't see it. But by the Holy Spirit, you can see it. And now we're not talking about somebody else. We're talking about you. Me. I'm talking about me. I'm preaching this message, but the only one that can really get this reality and work it through is you. Right? You can't do it in me, and I can't do it in you. But John's saying he's given us this understanding so that we would evaluate and we would see who we really are in Christ. So, but the one who hates his brother is in the darkness and walks in the darkness and does not know where he is going because the darkness has blinded his eyes. Now, I want to stop there for a minute. I'm on 11. You guys can remind me where I left off. And I'm going to give you I'm going to tell you a story about what I dreamt the other night. It was really weird. I woke up, and I used to dream a lot. I used to be really battle type demonic dreams. And, you know, just some people dream. Then I went through this period where I didn't dream at all. Like, they weren't there. And I thought, cool, I've battled the enemy, I've won, right? And then, so last night after whatever night it was, I woke up and I told Joey about it. But in this dream, there was this wall. It was a big, dark, black wall. And as I was walking toward it, I certainly seen the light. And it was a glimpse of light that came through the middle of it down low. And at a distance, it was not real bright, but it was there. I mean, it was very visible to me. And so I'm walking up there, and it's like a doorway through this wall, and it's ovaled at the top and just an opening, right? It doesn't close doors, just open. And so I'm walking up there, and I see these guys hanging on ropes, you know, beating on the wall. I seen guys at the bottom at jackhammers and trying to blow a hole in the wall, and they were just working at it. And then there was these guys that were just kind of walking around and bumping up against the wall and turning around and coming back up, just mindlessly trying to go through the wall. And I was going, wow, that is weird. So I go up and I just kind of look at all these guys and I walk through the door. And it's like bright. I mean, it's beautiful. And there's worshiping going on, there's music. And I see Jesus just kind of meandering around, visiting with people. So I walk up to him and I start talking to him. And I ask him, what's up with all these guys out there? You know, why don't they just come through the door? Right? And he says, Dave, I don't know. I showed up, the door is there, it's bright, and you should be able to see it, but they just don't want to come through that door. They're trying to get through another way. And I thought, wow, this is so tricky. So I turned around, and I walked back out the door, right? And I looked around, and it's still going on, and I thought, it's so strange. How come they can't see this door? Right? It's because they couldn't see it. They were blind. They couldn't see it. They were trying to. They knew what was on the other side. They could even hear it. But and they were trying to get through in all kinds of different ways. But there's only one way through it, and that's the light of Jesus. Now, if you're in the dark, right, you aren't going to see this light. You can't see it. If you're walking in your selfishness and your own way, you aren't going to be able to even see this message. Right? Because you're all good. You know what I'm saying? If you don't stop life for just a minute and just maybe even ask yourself a question, could I be duped in believing that I got it all together? Could I learn something here? And is God trying to speak to me and I'm just not listening? We're talking about walking in the light. And when you look at walking in the footsteps of Jesus, he had people come against him. His own people came against him. In fact, if you remember when we read way back, we were in, forget what book we were in, but the message was on Jesus and as he was the feeding of the 5,000. Remember that passage of scripture where he made a miracle and fed 5,000 men. He didn't talk about the women and children, so it was over 5,000, but it was 5,000 men and their families from the loaves and fishes. So everybody thought, oh, the master has come. He's come to feed us and take care of us. We don't have to work. We've got this king that's going to watch over us, take care of us. And then he tried to explain to them, this kingdom, my kingdom isn't of this world. Right? I'm not going to feed you guys every day. You have to understand this message. And so they all left. Oh, well, I guess he's not going to feed me every day. I got to go back home. Go to work. Right? So they all left. I'm paraphrasing. But when he got, remember his disciples were there and they were all kind of saying, what's going on? And he said to them this, he said, you guys want to leave too? This walk with the Lord isn't peaches and cream, guys. It is in the spiritual, If you know Him and He knows you and you're walking in the light and you analyze yourself and you keep loving people even when they don't deserve it. Why? Because Jesus loved you and you didn't deserve it. And He's asking you to walk in that light, that understanding. Because it isn't about how you feel. It's not about how you feel. It's about what you need to do because God said to. And so that message in my dream, right, there's going to be people that we live around that need to see this light. And the only way they're going to see it is if you actually live it. You know, I mean, we can preach to people on the streets till the cows come home. But if they don't see that in action, if you can't love them anyway, right? Because really all they're looking for is love. But we're talking about darkness and being duped, right? Now, those that don't see the light aren't going to just get it, right? They're trying to get through the wall. It's dark. They can't see the doorway. And the way that happens is that we show that light that shines through us. But first, we have to get our light burning. Don't hide it under a bushel, no. Let your light shine. Remember that old song? If you guys went to church, you'd remember that. This is the light of mine. I'm going to let it shine. Remember that? Well, that's what it's talking about. How's your light? Is it shining bright? Or are you walking in bitterness and unforgiveness and kind of got these issues and talking about, well, God, if you really loved me, why did you do this? Or why did you allow this to happen? Or why did you allow that to happen? Or this life stinks and I just want to leave it. Or what, you know, put whatever it is you want to put in that blank. But if you keep going around talking about the whys of life, you're duped. You've already been fooled. You've already jumped on the bandwagon that God doesn't want you on. It's okay, right? Why? Because Jesus went through it too. And He sees the truth. And the truth sets you free. You guys, as you accept Christ, I say this many times, but I don't know if we all get it, that when we accept Christ as our Savior, that doesn't change the world. It's not going to change the world. The world is what it is, and it's going to pass away. What it changes is you. Right? That's what it changes. It changes us and our perspective of what's going on around us. Now, it's not going to change what people do or how they think, what they're going to do for you, even. Because guess what? They probably aren't going to do anything for you. What our goal is to have them do something for Jesus, and that is see the truth, and that truth set them free of all the pain and suffering that they're in. Not was in, because if we're, as believers, if we're walking in the same pain and suffering that we were walking in before we were believers, or maybe we're walking in the pain and suffering that we're walking in as a believer, it's time to go back to the truth. Because he said, remember after my little thing I went through, I came back with a verse that God gave me. He said in Matthew, in fact, you guys can go look this up. It's very good for you personally. Matthew 28:11, and it talks about that casting your cares upon Him, because He's talking about the yoke is easy and the burden is light. Right? If your yoke is heavy and your burden's heavy, time to start getting along with Christ, because He's pulling this with you. Right? He knows what you're going through. He knows what you're going through. Because basically, if you knew, it's like the footsteps in the sand. This one set of footsteps. You know whose footsteps those are? Jesus's, because He's carrying you. And our relationship with Him needs to be in a place to where we get that. And understand that He is with us. And if He is for us, what does it matter who's against us? Right? Now we have responsibility in what we're doing with all that, but love is the key here. So, okay, where did I leave off? Okay. I'm writing to you, little children, because your sin have been forgiven you in His name, for His name's sake. your sins have been forgiven you in his name. So if you ask Jesus to forgive you, he's faithful to forgive you. Guess what? Does he go, "Oh, wait a minute, what about that last sin you just did?" No. You know what about sin is? Once it's done, you know who remembers sin? You and the enemy. God don't remember. If you've confessed it, if you've taken it to him, it's over. It's like it never happened. You guys get that? But you remember your sin, don't you? Don't you? I remember mine, and I don't like it. And guess who else remembers it? The enemy. And guess what else? He'll bring it back up in an opportune time when you don't want to hear it. He'll bring it up, and he'll try to drag you down because of your failures. There ain't nobody in this room that hasn't had failures, not one. But I can tell you this, the ones that's got it that has it under the blood of Jesus sees the light. That light's shining because you don't have to remember that no more. Yeah, it can come up. And the greatest thing about failures is we learn from them, hopefully. And we don't go back and do it again. Now, what if you go back and do it again? Oh, I'm never going to be free. Guess who that is? It's the enemy again. Yep, you did this 5 or 6 times. Maybe it's your 1,000th time. Maybe it's 2,000. Maybe it's 100,000 times. What did Jesus say? Right? Forgive 70 times 7. You know why he said that? Because it's endless. You can put a number on it, but that's not what he was talking about. He was saying, look, the truth will set you free. Once you establish that and not walk in it anymore, then you're good. You're free. So you establish that with the Lord, knowing that he is with you. He's your propitiation. He came to cover you. So I'm writing to your fathers because you know him who has been from the beginning. I am writing to you young men because you have overcome the evil one. Overcome the evil one. I love that. Man, we need to memorize that. I'm going to overcome the evil one. How do you do that? Huh? Blood of Jesus. There's only one way. But in Galatians 2:20, no longer I live, but as Christ lives within me. If you're walking your own walk, you're outside of his covering. If you're walking as Jesus walked, you're walking in his covering. It's real simple. Hard to do, but simple. He made it easy. I have written to you, children, because you know the Father. I have written to you, fathers, because you know him who has been from the beginning. And I've written to you, young men, because you are strong and the word of God abides in you and you have overcome the evil one. I love that, overcome the evil one. I just love that. Listen, there are things in your life where you have overcome the evil one. And you won't go do that again because you've overcome the evil one. And he tries to whisper in your ear. He tries to tell you. And you go, "Oop, you're going to have to try something else, buddy, because I ain't doing that again." Right? You got that one. Now you need to know what is your next step. What's the next one you need to work on? And that's what this message is. Open up your heart. Let God speak to you. Let you hear the truth, and the truth sets you free. But don't be duped. Listen carefully, and God will speak to you. So, wow, we're left 15 after. What do we got left? Shall I rush through this, or shall I wait and do it again? Okay. I got to keep going. Is it okay? Are you guys getting anything from this? Okay, this is the real deal. This is where the rubber meets the road. This is truth. This is the light that shines within you. Grab it. It's for everyone. If you can see it, it's yours. If you can't see it, you won't get it. Right? So this light shining, responsibility for our own life, refusing to allow the enemy to let us hold bitterness or unforgiveness or hatred for anybody. Right? We love them because he first loved us. Verse 15, do not love the world nor the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. That's pretty black and white. So what do you love of this world? Anybody love this world? We sang this morning, all I know is I'm not home yet. Right? We're not home yet. This isn't our home. We're just passing through. How many of you got that? You can get all the stuff this world has to offer, and when you die, it means nothing. Not to you, anyway. Somebody else might get the benefit of it, which is cool. I mean, if you can allow yourself to do that. You know what I found out? Most of the time, when children are left with something they didn't work for, they don't have any. They just kind of ponder it all off anyway. I've watched it happen over and over and over again. I was raised with people out in I was ranchers, right? These people worked their whole life, and their grandfather worked. They worked their whole life, and when that child is given everything, when it comes time for them to work the land, I don't want to do this. So they start selling it, chunking it off, and living off of what they sell. Pretty quick, they're left with basically nothing. I've watched it happen many times. Got friends I went to high school with, did this very thing. So you're going to learn from God yourself, and you're going to understand that we don't own anything. You guys get that? You don't own it. The Indians had it figured out long ago. When this white people came in and said, we own this piece of land. They go, what? You don't own land. It's God's. It's His. We just are stewards of it. We follow what He created and eat from what He's got. I mean, I don't know where this thing came up where this is mine. Really? Basically what happens is when you have all that is that you don't own it. It owns you. Right? Where's your freedom in all that? I mean, really, come on. You can have all that stuff you want, but what you're going to find yourself doing is taking care of that stuff. So how much do you really want to own? I don't know. I'm thinking, Lord, I don't really want anything. I just want to be free. But you can't have freedom this side of heaven. Right? You can't. So what you want to do is make it as simple as possible so that you have time to give to the Lord. Simple as that. And it took me a long time to figure that out. I wanted it all. But God says, look, less is better. What did Jesus have? Remember, what did He have? He says, if we're going to walk in Jesus' footsteps, what did Jesus have? He had nothing except for what was on His back. He didn't even have a place to live. Right? And He says, if you follow Me, this is what you got to look for. So if you're trying to accumulate things of the world and follow Jesus, there's going to be a kind of a mess going on. So you find yourself asking the Lord, Lord, what is it You want me a steward of? And I'll do that. I'll be a steward of that. And if You give me more, then I'll take care of that. But you got to be diligent to listen to what He's saying. If you're diligent with small things, He gives you more things. And if you're diligent with that, He'll give you more. And the whole purpose for the more is for you? No. The whole purpose for the more is to help somebody else. And listen, we've missed it. I don't know about you, but I look at our society today, and all I see is a bunch of greedy people. It's all out about how much they can keep, right? And our system works on that. I mean, our governmental system works on greed. It's all about greed. And that'll take me down a whole other path. So I'm not going down that path. I'm going to stay where we're at here. So the world is passing away and also its lusts. But the one who does the will of God lives forever. Man, that's good. You guys, we got the winning ticket. We get the lottery ticket of all lottery tickets. When you accept Jesus, you got it. All right? So the world's going to pass away and all its lusts. But the one who does the will of God lives forever. So back to the, I want to come back to the message title, where do you stand in this? And where do you stand in this? Where are you putting your effort to? When we look at all the things we do as a church, right? You know, we have sign-up sheets and we have VBS going on and we have volunteers coming. And the whole purpose is what? Is it for East Valley Church? If that was the case, I'd be doing a whole lot of other things to build this place. It is about the kids that are in our community to teach them about Jesus. And how many of us have time to do that? How many of us will just give a little bit of effort for the kids in this town to try to show them Jesus? And there's like 30-some volunteers. What, how many did you say? That's cool. That's so awesome. You know what that means? The light shining in us. That is amazing that there's that many volunteers that will help out 1 week to get these kids to know Jesus. Just the stories, the message. How many of you guys remember VBS? Anybody go to VBS? Joey didn't get to. I'm sorry. I know. She goes, nobody told me. VBS, I went to VBS when I was a kid, you know, and we just had a great time. And I remember the stories of Jonah, the whale, and all those stories that were told, right? And we had a blast. Those kind of things is the beginning of kids to understand who Jesus is, so that it'll never leave them. It doesn't ever leave them. They'll always go back to that. Think, man, that was cool. What was that about again? Right? So Jesus is the message. And it's our job to give the light, to do it, to give part of our time to show them. And if we're doing that, we're doing the right stuff. But if you're so busy doing the things of the world and accumulating your wealth, and you're so busy doing that that you don't have time to give to the Lord, then you need to reevaluate. Right? Not that you should work harder, you just need to work smarter and evaluate what you're doing here on this earth. We only have, and I can preach for hours, I need to slow it down here, but this time between birth and death, I know you guys are getting tired, we probably should stand up and shake it off. This time between birth and death, right, is our time to do what? And maybe that's a question you should go home and ask yourself. You know, what is this time that I have in this life that I call life? Why did God give it to me? And what's the plan with it all? And am I doing it? Or am I so busy doing just trying to work and feed my family and pay the bills, right, that I don't have time for God? Children. Children. That's back to the child thing. Back to the child thing. It says, it is the last hour, and just as you heard that Antichrist is coming, even now many Antichrists have appeared. From this we know that it is the last hour. They went out from us, but they were not really of us. For if they had been of us, they would have remained with us. But they went out so that it would be shown that they all are not of us. But you have an anointing from the Holy One, and you will know. I have not written to you because you do not know the truth, but because you do know it, and because no lie is of the truth. There it goes back to the truth and the lie. Who is the liar but the one who denies that Jesus is the Christ? This is the Antichrist, the one who denies the Father and the Son. Very simple. If you don't believe that Jesus is the way and you deny that, right? Then you're the Antichrist. You're anti against Christ. You don't believe that Jesus is the way. You just don't believe it. You believe there's many ways. But there isn't. There's only one. And those who were of that group, right, started listening to all these other things. Oh, but look at all these other philosophies, these other thoughts. And he said, you guys were of us, but you didn't stay with us. You didn't stay with this truth, that Jesus is the way. Whoever denies the Son does not have the Father. The one who confesses the Son has the Father also. So how do you get to the Father? By confessing the Son. As for you, let that abide in you which you heard from the beginning. If what you heard from the beginning abides in you, you also will abide in the Son and in the Father. This is the promise which He Himself made to us. And what is the promise? Eternal life. How do you get eternal life? Abiding in the Son. And what's abide mean? Remain in the truth. Remain walking in the truth of knowing that Jesus is the way. the truth, and the life. In Him, we have it all. Outside of Him, we get. This thing I have written to you concerning those who are trying to deceive you. As for you, the anointing which you received from Him abides. You know how many times He says abide in this? You guys need to go through this word and underline abide, 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 abide. And then remember what abide means, and then ask yourself, am I abiding in Christ? Abide in you, and you have need of anyone to teach you. You don't have to have anybody teach you, but as His anointing teaches you about all things and is true and is not a lie, and just as it has taught you, you abide in Him. Guys, guess what you need? You need Jesus. That's basically what He's saying. You can come, if you follow mankind's teachings, and there are many, there's so many mankind teaching out there, you can just get lost in the books that are written about it. Right? And He's saying, look, don't go down that path. You'll get lost in it. And I talked to a guy at the fair that was saying, talking about, oh yeah, I've been into Buddhism, been into Hinduism, I've been into Jehovah's Witness, Mormonism. Yeah, there's many ways, and it all basically comes back to the same thing. Really, what is that same thing? Oh, you know, God's going to take care of us all. Really? Where is that written? Man, He's not. That's the thing. He's going to take care of us if we listen to Him and we abide in Him. But if we just want to walk our own path, guys, you're going to be very duped down the road when you stand before the Lord and He says, listen, what did you do with this relationship with My Son? What did you do with that? Whoa, what do you mean? You're not going to have a good answer. But those who are in Christ, He's there. He covers you. He's with you. Now, little children, abide in Him so that when He appears, we may have confidence and not shrink away from Him in shame at His coming. If you know that He is righteous, you know that everyone also who practices righteousness is born of Him. And that's the simple truth. And you can go back and read that and go over it and look at it again. But the bottom line is, where do you stand? You know, you can't, the only one you can really take care of is you. And God, all He wants from you, I mean, all He really wants from you is simply you. All you have to give Him is you. But the question is, who are you? Who are you? Yeah, you're a child of the King with talents that are amazing. Right? And many of us are sitting on those talents. Many of us are not really pursuing this relationship with Christ and asking Him the question, God, what is it that You really want me to do? What am I created to do? And where do I shine? Where do I shine? Because everybody does shine somewhere. Everybody is a 10 somewhere. Yep, you are. You're a 10 somewhere. The question is, what is that? And if you know what it is, what are you doing with it? Right? Where are you putting it to work? And all I can say is that we, as a little bitty tiny little church, have a multitude of opportunities, and we're asking, begging you, guys, do what God calls you to do. We're here for you. We'll help you get there. Whatever that is, I'm all in, 100%. Whatever it is you feel the Lord's called you to do, and it's your talent, by all means, do it. I'm not going to stop you. So when the opportunity arises for you to go, look, I think this is something I could do. I'm kind of talented here. I can clean toilets like nobody else. Watch. And I know that's true. I know guys that do just that. And they're happy to be there. And nobody knows. Nobody knows. They don't tell anybody what they're doing. God knows. He knows exactly what they're doing. And they're doing it for the Lord. So you don't have to please anybody. You don't have to be trying to put your star up on some place or be all of that. You just need to be pleasing the Lord. Whatever it is He wants you to do, man, do that. Do it. And there's many opportunities. And you don't have to do it all. Just do your part. Because there's lots of gifts and talents. I mean, I look around and I know there's talents and gifts in all kinds of ways. But I also know by looking around, some of you guys are sitting on your talent. And you have a reason why you're not doing it. And the reason could be many. But don't you let that enemy rob your shine. Don't let him rob your shine. Right? You let that shine. Do all you can for the Lord. And when you get a stand before the Lord, you should be excited. I can't wait. I can't wait to stand before Him. I want to tell Him this and this and this. Not that He already knows, because He already knows. But when you get before Him, you can be excited about all the stories you can tell about what you did. How many stories you got to tell Jesus? Have you thought about that? Huh? How many stories do you want to tell Him? I got a couple I'd like to share with Him. This one really worked. I did it right once, Lord. Did you see that? I failed a whole bunch of times, but this one I did right. And I know you've seen that. I want to talk to you about it. What did you think? So we need to get excited about that. And we need to be pleasing our King. And let your light shine. And so, where do you stand? Where do you stand with all of this? George Mitchell had a tape, and I'm going to close, a measuring tape. And he pulled that measuring tape out, right? And he showed his lifespan. Right? We all, the Bible says, 70 to 80 years. That's where we're at. 70 to 80 years in our span of time. And he pulled that tape out, and he said, I'm right here, and this is how much I got left. And I look back at what I did with this. And I'm thinking, I got this much left, and I'm going to do all I can do for the Lord. Me too. I'm with Him. How about you guys? I got this much left. Well, I might have a little more than Him. But I got this much left, and I want to do all I can. And I don't want to waste my time bickering and complaining or whining or getting caught up in a bunch of sniveling babies. Right? I don't want to do that no more. I don't care about that stuff. I want Jesus to shine. How about you? I don't want to get caught up in all the stuff. You know, or what you said, or what he said. I love you anyway. Whatever people said, it's okay. I don't care. I love you. And I want Jesus to love you. I want you to love Jesus. I know Jesus loves you, but I want you to love Jesus. And if you love Jesus, you ain't going to care either. You're going to get on with that little life you got left and do all you can do for the Lord. Amen? All right. Is everybody good? Thumbs up. Thumbs up message. You can remember this one. Take your notes home. And what was the two things I asked you guys to do? Number one, self-examine. Spend some time with the Lord, self-examine, and see if you're not being duped somewhere along the line and walking in unforgiveness or feeling like you want to be mad at somebody, right? You got to take care of that, right? Number two, be all you can be for Jesus. What time you got left? Those two things I want you to look at, think about, right? That's your week's chore, at least until we come back on recharge. Now, we're having our VBS, so Wednesday night is going to be a little wild around here, but come anyway, because we're still going to have Wednesday night. The chairs are going to be all... And it's all going to be, well, you'll be coming to the castle. It's going to be castle. You'll be coming to the new castle. And we're going to have Wednesday night. We're going to make it easy because all the stuff's going to be down. So I am going to just play the guitar and worship or something. And then we'll get on with the message. Amen? All right. Is everybody good? Let's pray. Father, we love you. We thank you for your message, Lord. We thank you for how do we stand with all of this. Lord, how do we stand in our relationship with you and what you've called us to do? Do we need to reevaluate? Or do we need to look and get intentional about what we can do for you and let our light shine, whatever that is? Lord, we ask, God, your blessings be upon us as we think about this, as we ponder it, and as we certainly give you our whole heart, not just partial, not just knowing you a little bit, but giving you all that we are, our whole heart, so that we can walk integrously before you and we can be intentional about it. We love you, God. We ask a blessing.